Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome, friends. I'm so happy that you've joined us today on the 8th episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. You know, in life, we have two choices. When we are confronted with challenging situations, we either remain in the current situations or we decide to separate ourselves from the situations and move forward. Some of these situations are simple. It's like having a job we dislike, or it might be a little unfulfilling, or maybe we live in a town that doesn't really fill our heart and inspire us. However, others find themselves in more drastic circumstances, like marriages that are either emotionally or physically abusive. When individuals find themselves in these situations, many remain in those situations because they don't feel they have a choice, they don't have support to move forward, or maybe the resources to rely on when familial support is lacking. Others, however, choose to remove themselves from those situations, knowing that for their emotional health and physical safety, it's not an option to remain. This step, although a positive one in the long run, is extremely frightening and takes an immense amount of bravery and grit. Today's topic will focus on the healing and moving forward after experiencing domestic violence, and how we can all have a heart of compassion and empathy when we find ourselves supporting those we love or those who cross our paths who have found themselves dealing with the fallout of domestic violence. Today, I welcome my friend Kim as she shares her journey through healing and moving forward after finding herself in such a situation, as well as how she's decided to live her life in the service of others who find themselves in situations that are similar to her own history. As you can imagine, today's topic is one that is very sensitive and carries a lot of grief and sadness for many people who have found themselves in such situations. However, my hope today is to share one woman's story of hope and a positive future. Welcome, Kim. I'm so honored to have you as a guest today and for you to share with my listeners about your journey. You and I first met many, many years ago, and we've remained friends ever since, and I'm so grateful for that. Can you tell our listeners a little about where you are currently in your parenting journey?
Well, first, I want to thank you for helping me share my story. I hope that it will help others that need to move on and get their life back. So, yes, currently I am a single mom with two adult boys that are married, or sons, I should say. I am also a grandma to a sweet 2-year-old granddaughter. Therefore, my parenting journey really has consisted now of watching my sons build their lives as husbands and daddies, and it's very rewarding to know that I have actually done my job by raising them up to be fine young men. And now I actually get to sit back and enjoy my life as a grandma. And it's a different kind of parenting journey, a different season in my life.
Mm-hmm. I know that brings you a lot of joy, because we talk about your sweet grandbaby and how much joy she brings to you. And I do have to say, I didn't get to spend time with your older son, but I had your younger son as a student. And I can attest that the heart that you're going to share with us today, like that kind and gentle heart that you're going to share with us, that is you and the essence of you. I got to experience that with your son. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was so grateful for that. So where you are now is very different than where you were shortly before we met many years ago. Can you kind of take us back in time and share with us the situation that you found yourself in and why you decided that you needed to make a change for you and your children?
Well, when we met years ago, my son actually was in your class, and I also worked in the same school as an assistant in another classroom. My position as an assistant, I just loved it. I loved working with the children, but it did not bring a lot of income to support a family. So it really worked for our family, though. It allowed me to be with my boys at home when they were off, and it worked because my husband's income paid for everything, and it was perfect for us. So, but suddenly, things changed due to circumstances that were beyond my control, and I found myself as a single mom that could no longer pay for the things we needed in life. And after many months of my boy's dad battling leukemia, we found ourselves with no income and no health insurance, and I knew I had to basically do something to help my boys and I out.
Can I just stop us for a second here, just so that our listeners, because I know that you and I have talked about this. So originally you were working and then your life changed.
Yes.
And so, and we've talked about the importance for you and your healing to not dwell on the physical acts that brought you that happened then. But I just kind of think it's important that we share a little bit about the fact that hearing your story, it's just reminded me the importance of being open to hearing everyone's story. Because when you say that your life suddenly changed, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a gradual build of anything that you can, really look back and say, oh, this was a problem. The things that the media shares or that you're used to hearing in terms of domestic violence. This was completely like one day this happened, the next day this happened.
Yes.
Yes. And so you, after this event happened, you decided, okay, I need to move on and I need to do what I need to do for my children. So for you, moving on and doing that, what did that look like for you?
It was very scary. I honestly did not think I could do it. I did not see how I could on the income that I was making as an assistant, raise a family. I knew that if I was going to make it, it was going to be because of God and the power of me to move forward. I knew that, but it's easier said than done. So I knew that I had to do something, not just for me, but for my boys, and so that we could live. So I went back to school.
And I remember you sharing. Yeah. I remember we talked about that, and you were, it was a journey to get back to school, and
yes.
You had this dream that you wanted to be a special educator.
Yes.
And go back to school for that. And I remember that passion that you had about that. You were so excited.
I was. And so were I went to Greenville University, and the staff there, they were all about my age because I was in my 50s. And they were so encouraging. They, I'm sure they wanted me to go there, but I think they knew that this was a goal that I had. And by golly, they helped me reach it. And I am now a special ed teacher, and I love my job because it's just something that I've always wanted to do, just had never had the education. So, I knew that I could do it, and I set my goal and I did it.
How long did it take you from when you decided to go back to when you actually finished everything, like the number of years? How long did it take?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's dedication right there, sister.
That is.
That's dedication.
It took me a long time, but I did it. And
so I think what's important is you've shared with me that a lot of people have looked at the way that you kind of handled that situation, and they've even said to you, like, I wouldn't have been able to handle the situation that you, the way that you did, the grace that you gave, you know, your ex-husband, the way that you moved forward. But then after this happened and you had kind of gotten yourself with your feet under you, you mentioned that he became sick.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. He had leukemia, and so suddenly, you know, everything he paid, you know, for our health insurance and everything, suddenly we had nothing, because when his family medical leave ended, he was let go. And that was difficult, because I had never been in a situation that, my goodness, I have to now figure out what we're going to do. And I'm thankful, because I found out, you know, that there was lots of resources, and a lot of women might find themselves in situations like this, and it's so important for them to know that there are things out there to help people. I mean, we got on food stamps, we got on the state insurance, we moved forward. With the help of things like that, I would not have been able to do what I did. And there's lots of other resources too that we can talk about. But I think so many people don't really realize the different resources that can help you to move forward. I mean, we due to all of that, we lost our home, file bankruptcy, our entire life changed. And it was just something that at the time I could not understand why, but it happened, and you just move forward and you just realize that there is a reason, and there's always a reason for life-changing situations. We just don't know it until we look back and see how far we've come. Not look back on negative things, look back on all the positives to help us move forward. So
I really like that you mentioned that, because I recently listened to a podcast, and the gentleman that was speaking on the podcast, his name was Tim Ringgold, and he talks about our brain and about the way that our brain can only focus on what we are focusing on in that moment. So if we live in the past, then that is where our brain thinks we are right then. If we're thinking about the present, and you know, we're you know, in your lovely home, and you know, I have a nice, you know, unsweetened tea, which is my favorite, you know, this being present in this lovely area and this lovely surrounding, then my brain is like, oh, this is where we are. But if I'm thinking about the future and the unknown and what's going to happen down the line, then my brain's like, oh, we're in the future now. And so you can worry about the future, which we have no control over, or that living in the past. But I thought it was so interesting. Like, everybody says you can't live in the past, but I didn't really understand the science behind that. Our brain literally can't do it. It doesn't recognize that it's really the past. And I think that that's really important, because you've talked about that with me multiple times, about the importance of that. So during this time, when you were going through both times, the times when, you know, when you're originally in that situation of domestic violence, and now you're in another situation where it's instantly changing, who were your biggest supporters during that time frame?
My family and my friends, but most of all my boys.
They're good boys.
I'm blessed.
Yes.
I am. My boys were my biggest supporters.
So you mentioned to me that it is, and it was, and it continues to be very difficult for you to share your story because of the comments that you were on the receiving end when you were navigating the situation, the very beginning, and then even, you know, with the foreclosure and the bankruptcy and all of that, what do you want our listeners to know about how those comments affected you and what you hope they take away today in terms of supporting survivors of domestic violence who are going through this?
Even now, it is so difficult for me to share my story. Not because I'm embarrassed, but because I'm afraid of being judged by others, because that was probably the most hurtful part, the people judging. And I don't know, I really cannot understand why they did that. But when I do reflect back, I know that they probably didn't know the details of my story because it's just something I just didn't share, you know, with others. But I guess I don't dwell on anything but the positive. I just move forward. I live in the present and try to make everything so positive. But as I reflect back, I remember thinking, you know, way, way back, about times that I truly judged as well. And I'm embarrassed to say that. I'm embarrassed that I thought, wow, you know, when I would see people going through similar situations, I actually am ashamed that I did that. But I also think that it's because I did not know about anything about that kind of situation, nor had I ever been through it. And once I went through it, I understood, you know, so much more and I guess that it's really not an excuse. It's just pure ignorance on my part because I guess feel like looking back, I really wasn't very Christian-like, you know, doing that. And once you've gone through something like that, you see it in a different light. So I think that people who did judge me, they just were not, they didn't know, they didn't understand. They just saw it as, oh my gosh, that's someone that you see on TV, that the media, you know, shows us.
Right. And I think that that's important because in my journey of just navigating, hearing people's stories, it's really important that we don't bring those biases or those judgments or those preconceived notions that we think, oh, well, this reminds me of something I watched on TV that happened in 60 minutes and it was the beginning, the middle, and the end. And it's all tied up neatly in a, you know, something that can fit with commercials. Like that's not real life. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's really, really important for us to understand, to not judge and to really have an open heart. So what do you want our listeners to know about the process that when you find yourself in a situation like this and people who decide to leave because they've made that choice that they're going to do that, what is the process that they have to go through when they make that decision?
Well, for many years, I've been able to work with other women to help them build up the courage to start a new life with or without their spouse, because sometimes you can work things out and move forward. So it's important to help. It's important for me to be able to help others with help, you know, deciding what is best for them. Life-changing situations, they just happen in my heart. I truly believe that they happen for a reason. We may not know the reason, we may not understand the reason, but there's always a reason. And thank goodness I've been through so many counseling sessions that have helped me to become the person I am today. I would not be that person I am today had I not had that guidance. And that's why I work with different women to help them understand they can have a different life with or without their spouse and move forward. And just accept, I've learned to accept my life and move on. And I've come a long ways. I really, truly have. The biggest thing in my life, the turning point in my life was when I received the advice to forgive so you can live. And at the time I was like, what? How can you forgive? You know, all the things, and it's not just one person, it's so many things. You have to forgive all of those things that have happened that so you can live. And without that, you can't move forward. And so when I decided that I was going to take that advice, it changed my life forever.
And when I talk about bravery, I think that was like the bravest banner that you could fly, is, you know, because I think for a lot of people, we think forgiveness means that you, you know, the whole phrase like forgive and forget, that's not.
Yeah.
Forgive means that you, for you are giving really to yourself.
Yes.
To live.
Yes. So I can live. I just made that decision that I would forgive those who had hurt me and I would never look back, not on the negative. I only look back on the positive. I have so many positive things in my life to be thankful for, and I am so very thankful. I'll be honest, it took a lot of strength and faith and courage to get to that point. I just don't want a listener to think that it just happens. It takes a lot. It takes a village to become, to do this. And I, you know, without all the counseling, with all the, you know, different things that I went through, I would not have been able to do that. And I'm so thankful because when a person forgives others, something actually changes inside you. I mean, I can't explain it. It just changes. And I'm really blessed that my family and my friends helped my boys and I get through this. You know, it was just something that was really hard. You know, here we had lost our home and everything. And then we went through a whole nother process of grieving for, you know, watching my boys grieve for their dad. It was just so terrible to have to, as a mom, have to witness that. And you know, when their dad passed, you know, no child should ever go through that. They just should not witness the death of a parent at such a young age. And
I think what's so, it just shows your heart, is that, do you think that you would have been able to be there for your children when they were going to deal with their loss of their dad had you not forgiven?
No, I could not have. And thank goodness I had done that prior to that, because I was able to move on and just be a mom. And as bad as it hurt to watch my boys go through that with their dad, you know, I was able to understand and help them.
And you said there was closure with his passing. That was was a gift in many ways.
Yes, it was a gift.
For that healing.
Yes.
That he spoke to his boys, and he even spoke to their spouses you shared with. So,
Yeah, they were not married at the time, but yes, it was just a closure for everyone, for them, so that, and I know they're thankful that they had their time with their dad in the last part of his life. So it was a blessing.
And I think what's so hard a lot of times, and it doesn't have to be a domestic violence situation, it can just be a situation where marriage doesn't, you know, continue, that a lot of times that hurt is so raw that whichever spouse it is, they really have a hard time not holding that animosity and that negativity, and that carries over. And you said you never spoke negatively about their dad to your boys.
No, there was no reason to do that. I mean, I guess never felt that. I really never spoke to hardly anyone about that. Maybe I would talk to myself about it, but there was no point. It was we had to move forward, and part of that was the forgiving so we could live and live a healthy, happy life. And just that's how I've always looked at it.
It's a beautiful perspective to have. So you talk about having certain things within the community that helped you. And I think that that's really, I really want to spend a little bit of time talking about using those community resources, because I think a lot of times people will stay in situations because they're afraid. You said you didn't have a job that could, you know, support your family. So what were the things that really helped you in our community, but maybe other people could find in their own community? What did you find was helpful?
Well, we live in such a giving community. I mean, I knew that, you know, before, because being on different teams, are in school with my boys, they were always very giving, helping others who were
like sporting teams.
Oh, yes. So I had witnessed that, but had never been a recipient of that. And so, I honestly would not have been able to make it without the help of the Glenhead Food Pantry. I mean, a lot of people donate to that, but they don't realize how they help people. And here I was working full time. I was going to school at night and just trying to make every single thing work. And they were so helpful with trying to pay for our home, you know, the monthly payments, and just they paid utilities, and that doesn't even, you know, I'm not even mentioning all the help that they gave to put food on our table. I'm so thankful for that.
And I think that's important, because a lot of times people think when they donate to the pantry, like I know our local Boy Scouts, they do a yearly, you know, scouting for food, which is, you know, is a really big event. So I know our local pantry and many other pantries get food. And so a lot of times people don't realize that they can actually donate money to the pantry to help with paying for utilities and, you know, back to school supplies and things like that for families.
Yes, they helped with all of that. And it's amazing. The things, the resources they have on top, of just the food part of it. I also belong to a women's ministry, and I was able to help others, you know, with my story, because I felt like I was able to share my story with them, because they didn't judge. You know, it was just a small group of women. They didn't judge, and I was able to help so many other women through the ministry with being able to do the things that they weren't even aware, you know, could be done to help them move forward with or without their spouses. I mean, just in the honestly, I think in order to do that, you have to it has to start with you. You have to forgive so you can move forward, so you can live. And I think that, you know, my sharing my story and how I got through all that helped others. I know it did. I know that the ministry changed my life. Sometimes when you're going through something, just someone who has a listening ear, a lot of people wonder, how can I help? What can I do? Just listen. Don't judge. Be there to listen. And I think that made the biggest, you know, that was a huge part of my growing and being able to do what I did to move forward.
I think too, knowing what you shared about not living in the past in terms of revolving around the negativity, I mean, that wouldn't benefit anybody. Like someone who's trying to share their story, for you to say, oh yeah, that happened to me too. And you know, all the negative stuff that does happen, you know, sometimes when people are sharing situations that they're dealing with, you know, there's like that toxic, you know, people just pour on that extra layer of that toxic cocktail, and it doesn't benefit anybody to move forward.
No. And honestly, there's nothing healthy about it. There's nothing, it's not going to help anyone, and it's just going to hurt. It will hurt everyone involved, and there's just really no reason for it. You can't move forward if you're still, you know, going through that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's just part of our life. In order to, you know, using that help. And there's also many other supports. I'm really not ashamed that I had to go through the state to get health insurance for us, or food stamps. But I'm going to tell you, it was something that was very difficult because people judge. And still to this day, I hear people, you know, I don't know if you would say making fun of it, just making comments about it. And I think, oh, you've never been there. I'm so thankful that I can see it from that way, because I know how blessed we were to get those resources. And I know it was the hardest thing I ever did. It's the hardest thing I've ever done to go into that area, into where you have to go for those resources, because I just felt so ashamed. But I finally got over that and realized, why am I ashamed? Well, it's because everyone judges and it makes you feel ashamed. But once I realized, you know, and moved forward with that, it was about blessing. It really was a blessing. And
well, I think, could you share with us a little bit about, you told me before about it kind of came full circle, like with your son, and you know, you were on the receiving end, but then he was able to give back. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because yes, that's a beautiful story.
When I got my job as a teacher, I was able to go in, and it was such a good feeling knowing that I no longer needed food stamps. I no longer needed any of the health insurance or anything like that, that I could go in, and I saw my caseworker in the window, and I said, I got a job, you know, kind of, it was behind windows. When I walked in, they were all standing there clapping. And they told me that I was the reason they did their job, because of people like me that could use their services and then move forward. And my son had to go with me to, you know, and all the services that we had, because we were moving on. And when we went there, it's not the most welcoming environment. It's just not. But sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And when we left, he was like, Mom, did you do that all this time? And I said, yes, I did. Because I just can't believe that every time you said you were going there, you went through what we just did. And I go, yes. I said, how lucky are we? Because you know what? Sometimes you just gotta just do what you have to do to make things work for you and your family. And that's what I did. And I don't regret it. I hope that people know that it is an option for them, as well as going to the Oasis Women's Center. That's an option. A lot of people don't realize it's not, right here in our area. They help throughout the entire United States. If there are women that are not from here that need to go back home, they help all over the United States find a new way for these women to find shelter and start their life again. And a lot of people don't know that. I've also learned, thank goodness, that our Madison County government in the basement has a library, that a law library that has so many free services down there, lawyers who work pro bono, and you can go down there. I've helped women go down into that area and find services, legal services that would help them. You know, they just have a wealth of knowledge down there, and they're willing to help. You just have to go there. And a lot of people aren't aware that no matter what situation you're in, they are there and will help. It's just a wonderful support system, and I'm very grateful for all the support that we received throughout the years.
What, there was a situation where you told me about your son and how he was able to give back. Yes. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Through the sports teams, they would do food drives, and they usually did it the first part of their season. And so they kind of had a competition, like who could get the most. And my son was able to, he was able to give the food back to the Glen Ed food pantry. And it was just kind of a complete circle. And I was so proud, so proud that day that he was able to do that. And he knew how important it was. And he actually, on the field that day, he actually thanked those people for the help that they gave. And it made me so proud to know that he was grateful for that.
I think what's so important with that story is that because of the compassion of others to be present and to be volunteers or to do what needed to be done for your family, that compassion, it bred compassion. And that is rooted in your son's heart that he then, you know, I love that full circle. So one of the things that, that I've been thinking about with the current situation is that there's the economic stressors that we're dealing with, being in physical proximity of each other more than ever. I know we probably don't understand right now because statistics are when we look back, right? We don't really know, but I did look, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is another resource that people can use, as well as the OASIS, what is the full name? The OASIS
Women's Center.
Women's Center. Mm-hmm. That one in four women and one in seven men aged 18 and older in the United States have been the victim of severe violence with an intimate partner. And nearly half of all women and men in the United States have experienced psychological aggression that by an intimate partner. So what do you think is the biggest way that those of us not in situations can support those in the situations, like looking back now?
Well, I still think, you know, the biggest way that someone can help is for anyone who is going through life-changing situations is to just be a sit back and listen to them, because a lot of times that's really, you know, a way for them to get things off their chest, and it helps others, you know, the people who are listening, it helps them to understand the situation. So that then they can help these women or men move forward, and they can help them with any needs that they might have. There are things that are so difficult to share, and but when you have a friend, and boy, was I blessed to have many friends that helped me get through that, because I just needed someone to listen. And that was the biggest blessing in my life. And I think that for people not to judge and just be there to listen and understand, hey, you may not understand this situation, and I pray that no one ever does have to understand or go through that, but just listening to, you know, to them so that they can, you know, it's part of the healing process.
Mm-hmm. And it is a process. When, how do you think your perspective on life and in looking at others in situations has changed in the years since you left that situation? Because that, it's been 12 years since that situation happened, mm-hmm. 6 years since the passing of your son's dad. So looking back now and where you were and how do you think your perspective has changed?
Well, when I lost my home and I had to file bankruptcy, I honestly didn't think I would ever have anything in life again. I just didn't. And I know that sounds silly, but I was wrong, because I never gave up on my goals. I actually wrote down my goals and on a piece of paper, and I put them in my Bible and prayed upon it. And whenever I felt defeated, I would go back and look at my list, and I would quickly see how far I'd actually grown and come. And I was proud that, I'm proud that I now have the ability, I have the opportunity to teach special needs children and to make a difference in their lives. But I also have since purchased my own home on my own. That was scary, but I did, and I have a new car. But those are just material things. Those are just material things. When you change your perspective on life, it changes your whole world, and that's what's important. It's not the material things. It's how far you've grown and moved on by becoming the person you want to be.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much, Kim. What advice can you give our listeners if they are finding themselves in a similar situation? What would you want to tell our listeners today?
Well, I hope that they would understand that they're to use the resources that are available in our community. It just helps so much with any situation. Don't be afraid to reach out to others, because there are so many good people really in this world. The few that do judge, you know, is so small compared to the number of people who are really truly have the biggest hearts. And by doing that, I think that one day they will wake up to realize that you now are the person that you want to be. And it's such a glorious feeling. I am at a point in my life that I am exactly what I put down in all my goals and everything. I'm the person that I'm back to me. So it's important.
I think you talking about writing those goals down, I just started listening to a book called Think and Grow Rich. It was written a long time ago. I think it was written in 1934. But one of the things that they talk about is the importance of writing those things down, and especially in today's world where everything's digital and, you know, whatever, but the importance of writing those down and committing to those things. And like you said, you would go back to them, and that mindset, that positive mindset, that what was yesterday doesn't have to be today, and it doesn't have to be tomorrow, mm-hmm. is so crucial. Because when we find ourselves with those tapes playing of that negativity and how am I going to do it, how you have to figure out what your why is.
Yes.
And your why was you.
Yes.
And health and your boys. One of my favorite quotes of all time was, it's by Mark Twain, that the two most important days in your life, the day that you're born and the day that you find out why you were born. And I just know, having spoken to you about where you are now and the essence of your heart and pouring into the children that you teach now, like, you are right where you need to be.
Yes, I truly believe that. The note thing, I have to laugh because during Teacher Appreciation Week with remote learning, the parents had asked us to do a wish list. And then I realized that I had a bunch of Post-it notes on my wish list and gel pens. And I thought, wow, but it's because I do write down those goals. And I use so many Post-it notes for that. I think that's my obsession, but it's got me this far. And I feel like it's a good thing, because when you write it down, it helps you to reach those goals, and it helps you to be a better person and to understand, even though there's hurdles in life, it's just a hurdle that you can get over and move forward. And sometimes those little Post-it notes, or, you know, like my list that I put in my Bible, is something that, you know, I will always treasure that I was able to do that. It was given to me as a homework assignment during one of my counseling sessions. And boy, am I thankful for that.
Homework's not something we're always thankful for, yes, but you were thankful for that one. Well, thank you so much, Kim, for joining me today. It was an honor to talk to you about your parenting journey and your journey of survival and moving forward and in establishing that mindset of forgive to live. So thank you for sharing that nugget with me today and for our listeners. So really appreciate you being here. Is there anything, any parting words of that you want to give our listeners?
No, I just wanted really to thank you for helping me share my story. I have shared it with numerous people, but never, you know, for the entire world. I'm thankful to be able to do that, because if it reaches one person to help them, I've met my goal, because that's mm-hmm. important that someone understand how far you can come when you just reach for the goals.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. I hope that Kim's story has encouraged you. If you have found yourself in similar situations of domestic violence, know that there is help, there's hope, and there are people who have the tools and are willing to walk beside you as you exit situations that are unhealthy and dangerous. For those of you who have never been in such a situation, I hope that today's story has helped you to see the importance of having grace for those in such relationships. Words are powerful, and we are given the chance each day to either use them to support, encourage, and uplift others who are in dark places. For more information about domestic violence support, please visit KristenLeeSchindler.com. You can find links for the Oasis Women's Support and well as other help and support for domestic violence hotline at Episode 8, Forgive to Live. Also, please subscribe to this podcast on whatever listening platform you prefer so you can stay in the loop for when future episodes are released each week. And please, please share this episode with others. They may never find themselves in a situation of violence, but we will always, always cross paths with people who have experienced things that we haven't, and it will help us have the grace when those times come. Lastly, it is my passion to pour into those who need encouragement and inspiration. My heart longs to share that there is hope for everyone's future, regardless of their past. I love talking with others and learning about their stories and using those stories to inspire others in the season they are in. So if you're looking for speakers for upcoming events, please visit my website and click on the events tab to contact me directly about upcoming opportunities to pour into the hearts and lives of others. And remember, no matter who you are, what your history is, or what you're designing for your future, your story matters. Please keep sharing it with others.